Good afternoon. Welcome to the Eco News Report. I'm your host this week, Gary Graham Hughes, the Executive Director of the Environmental Protection Information Center, EPIC. The Eco News Report is an exclusive feature of KHSU brought to you by the North Coast Environmental Center, publisher of our regional environmental newspaper, the Eco News. Don't forget, you can find this show and other KHSU public affairs shows on the audio archives page at khsu.org and from the homepage of the NEC at yournec.org. Today, my guest is Ellen Drell of the Willits Environmental Center, talking about the legal challenge to the Caltrans Willits Bypass Project, a massive Highway 101 construction project being proposed for the wetlands of the headwaters of the Eel River surrounding the Mendocino County town of Willits. And many thanks to KHSU and the NEC for this opportunity for EPIC to contribute to the Eco News Report. EPIC will be at the Gaia Festival at Black Oak Ranch this coming weekend. On August 4th, we will be moderating a Growing Medicine First Do No Harm panel, looking at the environmental consequences of this rapidly expanding cannabis industry on the north coast of California. A very important topic. You can check the archived Eco News reports from early February 2012 at yournec.org, and you can check out an interview that I did with Tice Fraser about these environmental impacts of marijuana production. You can check the EPIC website at www.wildcalifornia.org for news and updates about all of our program initiatives. And if you use Facebook, be sure to like EPIC and stay informed. EPIC is building membership, working hard to gain donation support through the next 5 months. And this support will be instrumental for our organization building resiliency for the next couple of years. EPIC works in the geographic area of the five counties of Northwest California, Humboldt, Del Norte, Trinity, Siskiyou, and Mendocino counties. EPIC has a strong interest and a strong root in Mendocino County, and Mendocino County will be the focus of today's show. I have Ellen Drell from the Willits Environmental Center, and we'll be looking hard at the challenge to the Caltrans Willits Bypass Project. But we'd like to start with some introductions and some background. Ellen, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
Okay, Gary. Thank you for having me.
Great. Thanks. Now, tell us a little bit about the Willits Environmental Center, when you started working, and what are some of your historic accomplishments?
The Environmental Center was incorporated in 1991, small but constant. And the issues that we have taken on have been somewhat varied. We started by fending off some really destructive industrial operations right in downtown Willits, a wood-fired power plant and a regional garbage facility. And then we very early on got involved with Caltrans over their plans to build a Willits bypass in the early 1990s. And right from the beginning, we were pressing Caltrans to look at alternatives to their freeway design. We also were involved in bringing traffic calming experts from around the country to Willits to look at ways that Willits might deal with its traffic issues. We were really involved in helping to stop a major water diversion of the Middle Fork of the Eel River. The Middle Fork is one of the wilder forks of the Eel. It comes out of the Yolaboli Mountains and the Yolaboli Wilderness. And we were involved in getting the Board of Supervisors in Mendocino County to support an addition of 100,000 acres of BLM and National Forest Wilderness Areas. So we've been involved in lots of issues from the National Forest to our local streets. And at the moment, we're up to our eyeballs in challenging Caltrans on their persistent proposal to build a freeway bypass around Willits.
Now, from EPIC's perspective, it is really an honor and a tremendous opportunity to be involved with this legal challenge and to be there as a colleague and a strategic partner with the Willits Environmental Center. We're looking hard at the way Caltrans is pushing what we believe is an outmoded transportation model for our region. We have, of course, been challenging Caltrans at the Richardson Grove. We have prepared everything to be able to continue to participate and challenge Caltrans for their STAA highway widening project proposal on the pristine Smith River up in Del Norte County. And now we're working hard with the Willits Environmental Center and Sierra Club and the Center for Biological Diversity in challenging the Willits bypass.
Right. Well, we are so pleased to have EPIC involved in this lawsuit and also so appreciative of your work looking at questioning Caltrans transportation vision all over the North Coast and our region. So We are very, very grateful for your efforts and couldn't be happier to have you involved in this lawsuit on the Willits Bypass as well.
Now, the Willits Bypass Project is a giant project. We're talking about more or less, and probably more, than $200 million. This is a massive investment in infrastructure in our region. But can you give listeners more of a general background about what exactly the Willits Bypass Project is, what it entails, and why it is that Caltrans proposes such a massive construction project?
Yeah. Since the 1950s, really, when freeway building was sort of the transportation vision of the future for all of California, Caltrans had in mind four-laning Highway 101 from Mexico to the Oregon border, and a piece of that four-lane highway was a bypass around the town of Willits. And their plan today, in 2012, is essentially the same. It is essentially unchanged. It's moved a little bit further to the west, a little bit closer to the town of Willits, rather than going straight through the center of the valley. But other than that, the plan for the bypass around Willits has not, the vision anyway, has not changed. So I'll describe to your listeners essentially what it will be at this point. Now, the bypass around Willits will begin pretty much where the four-lane ends now, which is about 2 miles south of Willits. There will be a, you know, one of the big four-lane interchanges at that spot, and then the bypass will go to the east of Willits through Little Lake Valley and then curve around the northern edge of Willits and merge again with existing Highway 101 about a mile and a half north of Willits. The bypass then will snake down back to two lanes and continue on Highway 101 as it exists, another 3 miles or so to the base of what we call Oil Well Hill, and then further north. And there will be an interchange at that northern merge area and then at the south, and there won't be any connection to Willits in between. So that's what Caltrans is planning. Their vision is for a four-lane freeway. They don't have enough money for a four-lane freeway at this point. So what they're proposing is to build the two interchanges, which will be the size of four-lane interchanges. The southern one will function as a four-lane interchange. The northern one will have the size and the capacity for a four-lane, but will only function for two lanes. In between, Caltrans is planning to build bridges and lay the fill for about two-thirds of the full size of the freeway, but they will only make two lanes operational. So they'll essentially have a project that have the impacts of a four-lane freeway, but the capacity of two lanes. And I would just say here that a two-lane capacity is just fine. So if you accept that the two-lane capacity is just fine, then you have to ask the obvious question, then why are we doing the destruction of a four-lane freeway?
This is an important moment to mention the phased nature of this project, that Caltrans is trying to paint this first phase as the entire project, that they're only going to be doing a two-lane bypass. But as you're saying, the construction will be intended to actually support a full four-lane bypass, which would be the second phase.
That's right. That's right. So everything will be in place for expansion to four lanes. And the two areas where the impact will be especially egregious are at the interchanges, which will be built now for the size of a four-lane freeway, even though there will only be, you know, the capacity, the operational capacity for two lanes. So years ago, when we were arguing for a smaller facility for some kind of a two-lane truck route or two-lane byway through Willits or something, Caltrans, in a burst of exasperation, said, well, we can build two lanes, but it'll have all the impacts of a four-lane freeway. And at the time, we thought, well, that was pretty outrageous. But as it turns out, that's kind of what they're proposing to do now.
I would like to talk a little bit about why it is that Caltrans is proposing this project and to look at it a little bit from the filter of someone who lives in Humboldt County and to compare it with the realities of what folks in Willits are confronting every day. I mean, clearly there are these brief moments from time to time. It's certainly not the majority of time for Humboldt drivers, but that you arrive in Willits and there is a bit of a traffic backup. I mean, this contrasts with the days that you drive through Willits and there's nary another car on the road or anything. But there are these times during especially the, you know, the peak summer tourist season when traffic backs up. Can we talk a little bit about the nature of those traffic snarls in Willits, where they come from, and how a Humboldt driver should perceive what's happening there on the road?
Right. Good point, Gary. And I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, Caltrans' reason that they give for building this bypass is what they consider be the terrible traffic snarl, as you say, in Willits, and the queues that form and the delays that regional traffic have to experience in Willits. And obviously, for many people, that's a reality, and they remember going through Willits and being tied up and poking along through Willits. So, but if we look at that traffic more carefully and see what it really is, what it turns out is that most of it, the vast majority of it, anywhere from 70 to 80%, is local traffic. Now, it's true that there are some summertime weekends, and maybe this Gaia Festival weekend will be an example of it, when a somewhat larger majority of the traffic is regional traffic. But for the most part, 70 to 80% of it is local traffic. And all the traffic, local and regional, that wants to go from one end of Willits to the other is forced to go through the Highway 20 and 101 intersection. Now, both to the east and to the west of Highway 101 in the town of Willits and to some extent in the valley, there are circuitous routes to get around. If you know your way through the neighborhoods or you know your way through the valley, it is possible to get around Willits. But for the most part, if you want to get from one end of Willits to the other, you must go through the Highway 20-101 intersection. There is no convenient or obvious parallel route through Willits. Now, I don't know of another town the size of Willits that has that kind of a situation. Now, it isn't as though it's impossible for Willits to create parallel routes. There are opportunities. There are two obvious opportunities, one to the east and one to the west. But Willits has failed to take the initiative to open up those routes. Decade after decade after decade. So that's the essence of the traffic congestion. And then just to, I don't know, there may be some of your listeners who remember when, golly, it was probably 10 or 12 years ago now, maybe even slightly longer ago than that. There was a time when there were the space for two lanes coming north into Willits towards Highway 20. And there was the opportunity for the right-hand lane coming north to turn right and get off of Highway 1 and move right through that intersection without having to wait for a light change. There was only one lane southbound. So Caltrans decided to trade the northbound lane and create another southbound lane. And so eliminated that right-hand turn that allowed people to move through that intersection without waiting. And once they restriped that intersection in order to create another southbound lane, the traffic backed up to the south at that light almost overnight, and it's remained that way ever since. Since that time, there have been ample opportunities for the city of Willits and Caltrans to collaborate and reintroduce that dedicated right-hand turn lane at that light. But again, they've failed to do that. So there are in-town solutions that would ease the traffic congestion. So that, for some of your listeners, that might shed a little light on why there is that backup at Highway 20 and 101.
Well, I think most everyone's familiar with that northbound pinch where the two lanes are merged down into one. And then, as you get to learn of this issue more, you begin to see some of the design features through there as you approach the intersection and it's actually really rather attractive, but the big gate, the arch that says welcome, to the Redwoods. I mean, I love going through that. Always makes me feel like I'm getting close to home, but that is actually part of the physical barrier right in this.
It's part of the barrier, but even with that in place, that intersection can be improved. Now, Willits does need a parallel north-south route, and this was an issue that the Environmental Center has worked on long and hard, and there are two roads to the east of Highway 101, about a block and a half to the east, that go all the way from the south end of Willits all the way to the north, but they're not connected. They're separated from each other by two properties. And with the purchase of those properties and the connection of those two roads, Willits would have a parallel north-south route, not necessarily for trucks or for regional traffic, though they could use it if they wanted to, but especially for local people to get around and avoid the intersection of 20 and 101 and to just create a little bit more of a street grid so that traffic vehicles have more of an option than everybody piling onto one intersection. So, you know, we're not necessarily making the case that Willits doesn't need another north-south route, possibly even a north-south truck route, something along the lines of other truck routes that go around cities to take some of the heavier traffic out of town. But Willits has another opportunity for an alternative to the bypass, and that is the Northwestern Pacific Railroad Corridor, which is in places 150 feet wide as it goes through Willits. And this is also a corridor that goes from the south to the north, right through Willits. And it's for the most part unused. And there's enough room in that corridor to maintain one or two tracks, as well as to include some street traffic as well. So there's another opportunity for moving traffic through Willits without having to build this antiquated behemoth of a freeway vision that Caltrans is planning.
It's really important that our show is focused so much on this discussion of the alternatives and other possible solutions, because that's one of our main arguments, and the challenge is that Caltrans has failed to adequately assess not only the project that they're proposing, but what the solutions might be.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also interesting to note really briefly, without getting off on too much of a tangent, that this is another locale in which sustainable transportation solutions are being handicapped a bit, as it were, by the obstinance of the NCRA in not being willing to really consider the realities of the year 2012 and what kind of holistic transportation vision we need, both for our local needs and for our regional needs. That right away of the NCRA through Willits does provide some options, but they're not even necessarily being discussed in a full manner.
No. Caltrans and our local and state and national, federal politicians have failed to take seriously the necessity of changing our mode of transportation. I mean, I think probably your listeners agree that we are facing unsettling, disturbing, possibly catastrophic climate change. And every region, every community has a responsibility to no longer unnecessarily burn fossil fuel and put greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. I mean, environmental groups all over the country, all over the world are fighting projects that would further destabilize our climate. And here on the North Coast, that fight is taking place in the offices of Caltrans, because Caltrans refuses to recognize that they also have a responsibility to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in a serious way. So, you know, as a community, we have a responsibility to kind of drag them into that discussion, because they obviously aren't coming willingly.
Well, that's certainly been our experience thus far. And that's why we're so committed to this challenge. Now, we've spoken a great deal about questions of necessity for the project. We've also touched upon the questions of the real review and assessment of alternatives. And we've skirted thus far, far away from some other really important considerations when we speak about opposing this project. And this is the environmental problems with the project. And I would love to have you describe to our listeners a little bit about the special environmental qualities of the lands where Caltrans wants to build this bypass, including the mile worth of raised viaduct that they're proposing over fragile wetlands.
Right. Well, the fact that they were forced into building a viaduct and that they're willing to do that and acknowledge that they have to is an indication of how fragile the ecosystem is there and how unique. Little Lake Valley is the valley to the east of Willits, and it's called Little Lake because it's a place where 5 salmon and steelhead streams, as a matter of fact, converge, and in the rainy season, flood and form a little bit of a lake in the northern end of the valley. And depending on the intensity of the storm, that lake can creep south almost to the limits of Willits and a little bit beyond, in fact. So one hydrologist referred to Little Lake Valley as an inland delta, which I thought was a wonderful description of it. So the bypass, by going to the east of Willits, actually goes through oak woodland, goes through farmland, goes through a seasonal wetland, goes through the floodplains of five anadromous creeks. It bridges all of those creeks. There are 22 bridges in this project, plus the mile-long viaduct. The bypass goes over the floodway of these creeks, and it goes through a riparian forest at the northern end. I mean, every kind of wet environment that you can think of, aside from a coastal estuary, this bypass goes through it, along with farmland and oak woodland and individual multi-hundred-year-old valley oaks that grace Little Lake Valley.
And we're speaking of the headwaters of the Eel River, and those of us who love the Eel River and live close to the waterways of this basin know that the river is under tremendous stress. There's already a lot of demands on this river, and this project is particularly worrisome because wetlands are a disappearing resource. Perhaps it's not as, some might say, as sexy as ancient forest or endangered species, although there are endangered species that are at risk due to this project. But the wetlands are crucial for maintaining clean, cold, abundant water in our riverways.
Absolutely. In fact, wetlands are considered the most endangered ecosystem in the state of California, which is why there are strong laws to protect wetlands. But, you know, these laws have to be implemented honestly. And, of course, the law that requires protection of wetlands, no net loss of wetlands is what the Clean Water Act says. We don't think that it was applied really accurately and honestly in this case. Now, Caltrans has made an effort to, quote-unquote, mitigate for the bypass's impacts to these wetlands, but the mitigation plan itself, because there were so many impacts, this is like 100 acres of impact to wetlands, which is enormous in the world of wetland impacts. Caltrans purchased 2,000 acres of private land in Little Lake Valley in a desperate attempt to mitigate for their impacts to the wetlands. So the purchase of this property in itself has an impact, as well as what they plan to do to mitigate for the bypass impacts to wetlands. It carries with it its own impacts, and one of them is the removal of hundreds of acres from agricultural production, which is an important feature of Little Lake Valley.
And this is also touching directly on a recent development concerning this challenge that listeners will find fascinating.
Yeah.
The California Farm Bureau has recently filed a motion to intervene on behalf of the plaintiffs. That's to say, the California Farm Bureau is willing and interested in intervening on behalf of the Willits Environmental Center, Sierra Club, the Center for Biological Diversity, and the Environmental Protection Information Center, because the folks who are involved with this rather, you know, conservative organization are very concerned about how Caltrans has handled the process under the National Environmental Policy Act.
Yes, yes. This is an historic joining of hands over an issue. I mean, I don't know when the Farm Bureau and environmental groups, at least in recent years in this area, have joined forces to oppose a project. So we are very excited to have them as interveners, because that opens a lot of eyes and opens a lot of minds to the fact that, hey, our challenges are broadly embraced. So, yes, the Farm Bureau has made a very powerful challenge to Caltrans. Their complaint is very strong. Not only do they challenge Caltrans' removal of hundreds of acres from agricultural production, they're challenging Caltrans' ability to do that without any environmental review of the consequences, which is part of our challenge as well. But along with that, the Farm Bureau is saying, in the same way that the other plaintiffs have said, that the Army Corps of Engineers, the agency that gave Caltrans the permit to destroy wetlands, actually had an independent responsibility to analyze again. The last time it was analyzed was back in 2006, but now that 6 years have passed since the last environmental analysis, that the Army Corps of Engineers had an independent responsibility to analyze what was in fact the least environmentally damaging practical alternative for this project. And that was a strong case in our complaint as well. So you can imagine how good it feels to have the Farm Bureau join with us in demanding that the Army Corps of Engineers reevaluate alternatives to this project.
The California Farm Bureau certainly has stated publicly that they don't object to the bypass per se, but yes, the situation has gotten to the point where they felt they had no other recourse but to take legal action to challenge Caltrans and the Army Corps of Engineers and how they're moving forward with this project. So we're looking at issues of endangered species, we're looking at issues of wetlands, at issues of necessity, and issues of adequate evaluation of alternatives. And all of these have come together in such a way that we have a really broad group of diverse stakeholders challenging these big agencies as they move forward with what we would say is clearly a boondoggle project, especially in these times of immense budget cuts. The simple fact that Caltrans is proposing to spend $200 million on this type of highway construction when we have high schools that are completely devoid of textbooks that have been published within the last 10 years. Let's not exaggerate the real expense of this type of project to our society. Let's not exaggerate it, but let's all also recognize how serious the situation is.
Right. That was an excellent synopsis, Gary, of the issues. And there's both the small picture issues, like the fact that this kind of a project is unnecessary in the town of Willits, that there are less destructive alternatives to get traffic flowing through Willits so that people don't become frustrated and irritated. And then there's also the big picture issue, which is that every community has a responsibility to look at the way they make their land use choices and choose those projects and those processes that are truly energy conservative and truly sustainable. And in a sense, we're lucky to have this opportunity in Willits and in Mendocino County to draw the line and say this is the end of pouring unnecessary concrete, of mixing up unnecessary batches of asphalt and putting 95,000 tons of CO2 in the air every year as we build this freeway from south of Willits to just north of Willits so that traffic can get back on a two-lane road. I mean, it's past time to put an end to those kinds of projects.
All right. Well, Ellen, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. It's been a real honor to have you here with us on the KHSU Eco News Report. Do you have any last words for listeners as we wrap it up?
Well, what can I say? I have sympathy for Humboldt County drivers who get hung up in Willits traffic. But I just hope that next time it happens, you will poke around on some side streets and try to get around it. But realize, understand, take a look at Willits and see how we could ease up this traffic congestion in other ways than building a freeway bypass. And I want to stress that a lot of the political support for this bypass has come from Humboldt County because people just don't like to be hung up in traffic. But what I want to say is it's not that simple. It has some complexity to it, and there are solutions that don't require a bypass. So get your politicians also to look at the bigger picture so we don't have that kind of just knee-jerk support for a bypass around Willits coming from Humboldt County.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Ellen, for joining us today. And we'll be sure to keep all of you listeners out there updated and informed about these crucial initiatives to reform the California Department of Transportation.
Thank you, Gary. Good. Excellent.
Okay. This has been the Eco News Report. My name is Gary Graham Hughes, and for the past half hour, we have been discussing the legal challenge to the Caltrans Willits Bypass Project with Ellen Drell of the Willits Environmental Center. You can find more information about EPIC program initiatives at wildcalifornia.org and by liking the Environmental Protection Information Center on Facebook. At our website, you can subscribe for free to our electronic newsletter and wildcalifornia.org news service, as well as make secure donations and membership contributions. The Eco News Report is produced for KHSU, located at Humboldt State University, and is coordinated by the North Coast Environmental Center. If you'd like to replay this interview or share it with others, you can go to the Public Affairs page on the KHSU website at khsu.org, where these programs are archived for 2 weeks after they air. You can go to yournec.org, the website of the North Coast Environmental Center. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call KHSU's listener comment line at 826-6089. Many, many thanks to Fred McLaughlin for engineering, and be sure to tune in again next Thursday at 1:30 here on KHSU for the Eco News Report.